The 10 o'clock hour of Willie and Tausch begins now. We will get to some Packers conversation, which we have not had, other than our Romeo discussion. Which, by the way, where did we end up on there? Because we kind of rushed the end of our conversation so we could get to Brian Anderson on time. Yeah,
darts and medieval saloons is where we ended up.
That is where we finished. But I think we kind of came to there's three, maybe four different options of what happens. I think option A, or I guess this is where I kind of want to just find out where our fans are at on this. Is option A that he signs a deal like old boy from Buffalo, $13-14 million a year? I would be more than happy with that from a Packer fan standpoint. I don't think Romeo should, but be that as it may. There's the other option of play this season out, get a comp pick, third, fourth round pick. I don't think that's a bad option for the Pack. Then there's the he's going to get number one wideout money. I don't want that. I'm not interested in that for the G&G. I'm not interested in paying him $30 million plus, which is what it would take. That'd be on the low end of a number one wideout. Then there is the fourth option, which I think is the most likely if it's going to get done. I don't know where Green Bay's head's at, is if he gets a Waddle contract from Miami. You know, in that 25 to 27 per. That's a big old number.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the grand scheme of things, but when you're starting to look at the other guys that the G&G want and who they have left for next season, everybody can be back but Dobbs next year. Is that correct?
Yes.
I don't know what
they've extended Watson.
Yeah, yes. Now that Watson is done. So I just don't think the Packers will go there. The question is, will they go to 2021? If they do, is Romeo on board with doing a three-year, $60 million deal? Because if that happens, I'd be happy with that as well. I don't know the Packers' mindset on Romeo to the degree. I have a really good idea of what I felt last year. Mm. And to Romeo's credit, he's put his head down just like they asked him to. He's worked, and he has been very productive. He is their number one wideout as we sit here today. Will he be come Thanksgiving? Or will Golden, or will Watson, or will someone else emerge? The odds would say right now it'll be Dobbs. I think he has great chemistry with Jordan, and he might hold on to that. Though that is how I see this playing out, and I do believe the most likely option will be the Green Bay Packers get a comp pick, unless Romeo decides he wants to go the way out of Buffalo and sign that $15 million a year deal.
All right, so the corollary question that I have is if you, whatever you end up signing Romeo for, okay, whatever it is, $13 million a year, $17 million a year, $21 million a year, whatever. If you were to re-sign him, who do you then not re-sign? Both Reed and Wicks a year from now?
Well, Wicks will not have a chance. If that happens, Wicks is probably
gone.
I don't know where his trade value would be. But, yeah, you're not, and especially with, you know, at least one of these guys, you believe Matthew Golden's going to be the guy, or you don't pick him where they
Correct.
Did. And Savion, he's already found his way in, and I think he will continue to try to grow his role. It would be very difficult to see anybody else unless Watson made a huge jump. If you re-sign Romeo Dobbs, I believe that is the end for Christian Watson.
Yeah, so are we getting a little carried away after a three-touchdown game?
Probably.
I mean, again, we're four games in.
What are his numbers through 4 weeks?
Romeo Dobbs leads the Packers only in touchdown receptions. He has 13 catches for 179 yards.
Four tutters.
And four touchdowns.
Last time I checked, catching touchdowns is important.
It does matter, yeah, and so does picking up third downs. Mm-hmm. 4 of his 13 receptions have been on third down, and that have resulted in a first down.
Correct me if I'm wrong, because I think I'm reading what you're saying, but you're not saying.
Well, I didn't really finish my thought.
You think this is a little leaky from old boy's agent? You think there's a little leaky?
I don't know. I don't know about that. All I'm saying is that he's caught 13 passes.
You think we're crowning him as the number one wideout?
Well, we do have a history of doing that sort of thing, right?
Oh, I think we've the opposite of crowning Dobbs. I think on this show we've been very...
Not of Dobbs, but of Jordan Love after the second half of 2023, of this defense after three games. Romeo Dobbs has... Romeo Dobbs has 13 receptions. The players who lead the NFL in receptions right now, Puka Nacua has 42. Jake Ferguson has 34. Christian McCaffrey has 31. Garrett Wilson has 27. Amon-Ra St. Brown has 27. Jackson Smith and Jigba and Ja'Marr Chase have 26. Like, they all have double of what he has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not. He is a number one wideout with the Friends cast of this group. Matthew Golden is positioned to be the number one wideout.
And Matthew Golden, we were talking about how disappointing statistically his start was. He has two fewer catches than Romeo does. He has 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep. So I'm
Jason,
I'm just...
who's going to be, when this season ends, who will be the number one wideout for the G&G?
Matthew Golden.
Agree.
I'm intrigued by what the career arc will be for Romeo Dobbs. I am intrigued by what the career arc will be, because now he is the only one. I mean, I suppose that's true. Malik Heath would have been a restricted free agent this past year, so I guess he'll be a free agent too. But there's three guys now that are under contract for 2026 that I don't have any real idea what they'll look like in 2027 and who they'll be playing for. And that's Reed, Wicks, and Watson. But Romeo is the one of their top four that is now going, is still going to be a free agent. And cursory talks.
Broaching.
Don't strike me as major talks. That's why they're cursory. Right. So I don't know. And if they've changed their position on him, great.
Right.
Great.
Do you think they, I don't know. Do you think they have?
Look, the way Matt LaFleur spoke, it sounds like there's been some measure of a change of heart.
And it feels like,
from what I was hearing in February.
And it feels like it's, as long as it's on our terms, we would be open to it. That's what that sounded like to me.
Fair. I think that sounds fair.
Jill, what do you want? I gave you the four options. I'm sure you were listening intently. Which option? You always like those pick a deal.
Choose your own
choose your own adventure. Choose your own vacation.
I want Romeo Dobbs to do what Alan Lazard didn't, and I want him to be the number two wide receiver in Green Bay for the majority of his career. How about that? I want him to take the contract. I would totally sign up for the $13 million a year. You're dependable. You're scoring touchdowns. You've got a chance to win championships. Matthew Golden might be more talented long term, but you're the solid, dependable, clutch situation, third down, touchdown scoring option right now and maybe for a little while for Jordan Love and the Packers offense. He's more healthy and he's able to stay on the field better than Christian Watson can. He's more dependable and he's more of a true receiver than Jaden Reed has proven to be so far. Sign up to be the solid number two and the number one until Golden evolves into the role that you expect him to be in, and then stay in that role and win for a while here in Green Bay. That's what I want from Romeo Dobbs.
Dave in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments, successful Packers teams of years past had three to four solid receivers at a time. If they had had one like Romeo alongside Devontae in Rodgers' last years, they'd have won a Super Bowl.
They had Lazard.
Yeah, Alan Lazard.
I don't know when Romeo, I guess Devontae was gone when Romeo got here.
Correct.
Right?
2022, they were ships in the night.
I do think a stronger number two that it was. I just don't know if Aaron would have trusted any. He trusted Devontae so implicitly. I don't know if it would have mattered if you had. If it wasn't somebody that he had a ton of history with, I think he was always going to go down with the ship going to Devontae. And, I mean, we did see that up front close. And I don't know if a young Romeo Dobbs would have made a difference in how he approached that. I would probably disagree with that.
Yeah. I just thought it was an interesting point.
Very interesting point. And yet, you know, I mean, nobody knows the real answer on it, but I would say, you know how Aaron worked and operated, and when push comes to shove, it's not about plays, it's about players. And I think that's how veteran players look at it, and that's why I think Jordan Love looks at it this way. And where did he go when the money was on the table? When he in the red zone, he goes to Romeo.
Jesse, what do you have from the Carbless Talking text line?
Dustin in Brookfield, does Jordan Love have any input when it comes to the Dobbs situation? Obviously not with the deal itself, but will Goody listen to what Love wants?
Great question.
Now we're getting to where Dustin. Aaron Rodgers was at the end. Is he going to listen to Rodgers? Is he going to do this?
Well, I think the play will be what dictates it. And I think Goody obviously sees that Jordan trusts Romeo Dobbs a lot. And yeah. I think that has helped alleviate some of the mistrust that was garnered last year when the whole, however you want, debacle or whatever you want to call that stretch.
Situation.
It was a debacle. That garnered him enough to build this back up, and I think it's given him a chance to have a chance to stay here long term. Whereas if that wasn't the case, I don't even know if he'd have been here this year. That connection, and I think the trust Jordan has in Romeo, is what gave him another opportunity to showcase his talents here in the G&G.
How has his emergence affected your prize pick choices?
Well, it's helped me with the Matthew Golden piece. For sure, because Holt had a weekend. Football season is here, and I've got to tell you, Prize Picks has made every game more fun for me. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made simple. You pick more or less on two-player projections. You know what? No Packer game this week, so go ahead. Josh Allen's passing yards. Saquon, if he can find the end zone. Who's playing tonight? Rams, Niners, McCaffrey. I think he's playing. Purdy's not. I went Purdy less last week. That didn't work. But it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. Prize Picks makes it fun all season long. And withdrawals are fast and secure. Apple Pay, Venmo, and more. That's why millions of fans are already on America's number one fantasy sports app. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that is code WI for $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 play. Prize Picks. It's good
to be right.
Noonie baseball? Game threes all day?
No, I'm going to dabble probably Saturday with the Brute Crew. Ooh. I think it's, well, I'm going to wait and see how this all plays out. I want to see if it's the Cubbies, if it's the Padres. If it's the Padres, I disagree with Levo. I think the Padres are a better matchup. That's what I think.
That has been Tausch's Baseball Matchup Minute. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This earlier, but our guy Tim Van Voren of Fox 6 Sports, you know, he joins Uncle Homer all the time, including yesterday afternoon. I'm on and then he's on because it's one of those days where Homer's, you know, by himself, and so he gets to have guests as opposed to co-hosts, and so he and I both join on Wednesdays. And TVV said something very interesting that caught Jesse's ear. Here is Tim Van Voren with Uncle Homer on the Homer Hour.
Having established that I think things will be different, Homer, in December, by December, I would say, how do you really even hold your head up high after these last two games by the Green Bay Packers? They were coming off a mini bye. If I hear one more time about how a mini bye is going to recharge us and allow us to get our act together, they had a mini bye after the Commanders game, Homer. And then they went to Cleveland and absolutely, you know, just soiled everything. And then had the performance they had in Dallas. The sloppiness, the lack of attention to detail, the lack of execution, it certainly wasn't every player. In Cleveland, you can commend the defense. In Dallas, you can commend Jordan Love for a lot of things, not everything, obviously, and much of what the offense did. But from an overall team standpoint, when you just ask me the question, could they still go to the NFC Championship game? Sure they could. They have plenty of talent. But these two games were dreadful, embarrassing, humiliating, and perilously close to career-defining legacy if that clock hits zero for Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur.
So I think career-defining legacy is a little...
Flame-throwing TVV.
Is a little strong from Tim.
What the?
Not where used did, to something
where
that
did
strong
that come from?
Him? From?
That,
yeah.
TVV is usually pretty measured, and is Homer rubbing off on him? He's been doing that show with Homer for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I think
putrid, dreadful,
embarrassing,
humiliating,
soiled.
I like filling your britches better, but I get it.
Heard it both ways.
Legacy defining. I will say this: if that clock does run out. It's not to the same degree, but what does everyone all? If you want to take a shot at Dan Orlovsky, what do people always say?
Yeah, run out of the end zone.
Ran out of the back of the end zone.
Yep.
There would be wisecracks to kingdom come about. You should pay attention to the clock. You got to watch the clock.
I agree, but I'm telling you right now, and they're a long way from this. But if you win a championship, you think anybody's going to care?
And Tim started that statement, by the way, by saying that he believes they are going to be a very different team come December. But he's pointing out that as of right now, el stinko, el suelo, not good, which I think is fair. But again, they better be better by December. That's the whole idea. Matt LaFleur said to us on Tuesday that it's not that he doesn't care if they win in September, but he does not want them to be playing their best ball in September.
Well, they're not. That's perfect. He's got it figured out. They're not playing their best ball.
Because you would certainly
and by the way,
would have
any
improved.
Team that wins a championship isn't going to be. I can remember New England teams that were still playing the September games like preseason games, rotating centers and guards and doing different things, trying to find the matchups or the lineups that would help them win. And listen, we get it. This is a microwave society. Everything needs to happen now. It needs to be done now. And every loss is a huge overreaction. And
yep.
We do that here on usually Mondays, Tuesdays. And then you start rationalizing and you start looking and you start thinking, what's the big picture? And for this football team, I still believe, are there teams playing better than Green Bay? Absolutely there are. Is there a more talented group of individual players than what Green Bay has? I would put our roster with the addition of Micah, I'd put us against anybody. I would. Mm-hmm. Now, the O-line needs to get its blank together. That is my biggest concern. Special teams, I'm concerned, but in Rich we trust. I mean, that is basically what we're doing here.
Do we?
No, we have to.
No one says
you don't
that.
Have a choice. What's your choice? What's your choice?
Fire Rich.
Yeah, they're not going to fire Rich. And I don't know, to Jason's point, I'm not sure what is that going to do. I don't know if that will change. So special teams needs to get figured out. But if this O-line can figure itself out and you get your big money guys in there playing at the level you anticipate, this team will be as good a team as there is in the NFL. If they don't and they keep slopping around, because last it was 2 years ago. That nightmare Amazon game for the G&G where they got bludgeoned. We got farkist.
Confirmation Thursday.
We got farkist. Like, they came in, that's when they were talking about dragging people out to sea and drowning them, and that's kind of what they did, and they told us they were going to do that. And now Green Bay, I thought, fought back and now is in a position, and they will be. This to me is more blippy than it is anything else. This has been a blip. And now you regroup, And you need to find a way to – the biggest complaint I'd have about the Matt LaFleur era of with Jordan Love. I don't have any complaints about the second half, other than they blew that San Fran game. That could have been a – but that's a whole other deal. That happens. It's playoff football.
Okay.
Last season, I don't remember a thorough, wow, did they play all four quarters of really good football. I just don't remember a game. And I could say the same thing here.
Huh?
When you're looking at the last two games. Offensively, obviously, you know, there were some good things, but even against Washington, that game should have been Route City USA, and it wasn't until, you know, they kind of put the throttle down. Detroit was probably the closest thing we saw to it. And you want to keep building off of that. And, you know, the season's long, but that's where this team has not really put it together and found what is our formula to win football games. Because I don't think they know that yet. I thought I knew, and boy, oh boy, was I wrong. Do I still believe it's going to be a dominant defense and an offense that's going to be incredibly opportunistic and going to be good enough to score when they need to? That's how I think.
Mm-hmm.
But last Sunday, it did kind of spun me around a little bit. Now, I'm going to regroup. It's like when I used to ride the Gravitron up at the Wood County Fair. You get spun around, you get up, and you're a little bit like, just wait a second, what? I'm in Juneau County now. How the heck did I end up in Juneau County? My defense is great in Wood County, but it stinks in Juneau County? No, I'm going to get back to Wood County. I'm going to get my roots, and we're going to be just fine. That's what I anticipate happening.
Quick fact check.
Did you ever do a Gravitron
Tausch
ride?
What's a Gravitron?
It's like a spinning wheel, and they have like gravity inside of it. You can like hang backwards, and you put your feet up, and then all of a sudden it stops, and you get there, and you're like, what the blank just happened to me?
You're shook.
Yeah.
Like you were.
That might be
the
only, and not to get too graphic, but since TVV is talking about soiling yourself, that was probably the only ride.
The Vomitron.
That I've. Blech. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Well, you
quick,
asked.
Quick. I'm not sure I did.
I asked, what's a Gravitron?
That's true. No, I didn't mean you, Jason. I meant Jell.
Didn't ask, hey, what's the only ride you ever soiled yourself on?
I didn't soil myself.
Yes, okay. Eric Franke of News 3 in Madison. True fact on Tausch with his reference to the Fonz. I interviewed Fonzie at a Badger football practice at the L.A. Coliseum in 99. Tausch is correct. He was a Badgers fan.
Mm-hmm.
Fonzie's daughter was at UW at
hey!
The time.
Lil Fonz.
Hey!
Also true, he's even shorter than Wildy. Very, very nice guy.
What a teammate Franke is to you, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cute.
Got a lot of history there.
Some other history from our old buddy Lance, one of our teammates. 26 years ago today, I would argue, no doubt for me collegiately, the greatest win team-wise ever. 26 years ago today. Can you tell me what that is, Jell?
1999?
Mm-hmm. October 2.
Ohio State?
You know it. The greatest team win. Definitely collegiately, and right there probably with the Seattle playoff win for me that I played. Those would be the two, and that one is probably at the top of the list. 26 years ago already.
26 years ago today.
Today.
The Wisconsin Badgers football team went into the horseshoe, right? That game was at
and
Ohio State.
We shoved
State.
It up there, you know what.
But you didn't you fall behind?
No, we fell behind big.
17-0?
Sounds right. Yep.
And then they promptly scored the next 42
threw a little
points.
42, threw a little 42 burger on him.
Oh, snap.
And then we busted up the coach's kid's leg. No, we didn't mean to do that.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not, but that's what happened.
Jeez. 42-17, your Badgers over the number 12 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes.
I'm not going to be hyperbolic. I would make an argument that as we sit here right now, is the greatest win in the history of the Wisconsin football program. Tell me where I'm crazy.
We'll get into that coming up.
It's Ohio State. It saved our season. It led us to be the only two-time defending champions of the Rose Bowl in the history of the Big Ten. Never happened. Doesn't happen without that dub.
We're supposed to be able to go back.
Hey, doesn't happen without that dub.
It's true. It's a great win.
We haven't won a natty. We win a natty. We can start. Then you can come at me.
So you really want to say that, like, in the 93 year, when they win in Tokyo to go to the Rose Bowl, or they win the Rose Bowl,
the Tokyo game. All of these are part of the conversation. I'm telling you how I feel. Obviously, it's more personal to me. If you want to come at me with the Tokyo Bowl and a Rose Bowl where Bevel runs it in, I'm not going to tell you you're an idiot. But I'm saying, if I said regular season, it's a no-brainer. Nobody's going to come at me. You want to talk Rose Bowls? That's fair.
How about the inaugural Big Ten championship game, Russell Wilson against Kirk Cousins?
No.
Duckworth?
No.
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 Brad Norman?
Last name Roberson?
No.
I mean, you only get one chance ever to win the first of anything, and they did it.
I'm going
to
tell you this. It's that game, or it's the Bevel running and doing the whole deal and winning against UCLA. Those are your two options, in my humble opinion.
I agree. I'm Team Tausch on that.
The Tokyo Bowl had to be something, though, too.
That was definitely something. Yeah, I didn't go to that game.
How about Gilreath when they beat Ohio State?
And this game is underway with a
home game that did they end up? I mean, the reality is, did you win something with it? Like, that is the unfortunate part. When everybody talks about Russell Wilson, he was great here, no question. But
for all 5 months,
what are we going to do?
I think you look at when Barry stepped away as the coach, Bielema took over. There were a couple of down seasons after he got started real hot, and then that win solidified this is his program. And
26 years ago today, I do declare that this is the greatest win in the history of the Wisconsin
94 Rose Bowl trumps it, but I agree that
it's
in the
pantheon. We had a freshman quarterback starting in the most hostile place in the Big Ten against the big bad bullies, and our season shot. We're going to the Guardian Bowl if we lose that game. We're going to Garden City, New Jersey to go play in the Garden Bowl. And we're getting, instead of going and winning another Rose Bowl, eating In-N-Out Burger and all that good stuff, we're probably getting some shears to go prune trees at a Garden Bowl.
I understand that it's a very special game to you.
Yeah.
And I am saying that it is definitely in the pantheon. But Barry Alvarez took over a program that was awash in red ink, that had like 40,000 people coming to the games to end the Don Morton era.
Yeah.
They went 1-10 his first year as
Jason,
the head coach.
It is a very fair
argument.
And
they came out of nowhere and won a Rose Bowl.
Yes.
And they had...
Agree.
They played in... Like, this is their bowl history, by the way, before they win the Rose
there
Bowl
was an
in 1994.
There was an 82 Garden City Bowl that we would have been playing in had we lost that Ohio State game.
So they played in the 53 and 60 and 63 Rose Bowls. The 1981 Garden State Bowl against Tennessee.
That was always the high water mark for a lot
of us. The 1982 Independence Bowl.
Shreveport.
Against Kansas State.
Yep.
And the 1984 Hall of Fame Bowl against Kentucky.
Okay.
To that point. And then they went, dropped off the table. They were nothing. Then they go and win the Big Ten and then win the Rose Bowl against UCLA in their home stadium. Barry Alvarez carried off the field or hugged off the field with Huber. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you might
it
be right.
It has to be number two.
Hey, maybe.
But for you,
for me,
who wasn't on the 94 team, it is undeniably number one. And for Brooks Bollinger and everybody else who was on that team.
Yeah, I'll be curious. All. And obviously, Barry, when Jesse hosts in 3 weeks after he gets back from his fifth vacation this month, I would think that question, Barry would answer it the way you are. But I'm not saying, I'm betting this is pretty dang close.
All right, Jesse, put that on your to-do list for the next Barry Alvarez show.
William Shatner and best win.
And you know what's funny? He'll actually take these notes and use them
in
comparison
sure
to when I ask him to, hey, jot that down. And then I ask him a day later, and he's like, well, I don't know. Why don't you write it down?
Right. We were back on the clock, and now we're not. I do.
Jesse, is it absurd that I said what I said?
That you put it number one, it's absurd.
No. What if I frame it in a regular season format?
It's not absurd to you.
Okay. Okay.
Well, that was very deftly done there. I have mentioned this to you a couple times on the show now. I'm going to mention it again. You've heard the commercials that have started to run. I have never left North America. I've been to Canada, and I've been to Mexico. One each. But that's about to change with Colette as we are going on a trip to London. We're going to England, Scotland, and Wales July 5th. So it is not that far away, and we would love it if you would join us. You can take in the charm of the countryside and the history of great cities. Imagine standing before Big Ben in London, and then later gazing out from Edinburgh Castle. So rich in history, it feels like you're stepping back in time. We'll also visit Chester and Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon, places where every street seems to whisper a piece of history. And how about a scenic train ride through the rolling hills that lead us right into the medieval, which is how I say that word.
Oh, the saloon?
City of York. I will check and see if they have a saloon.
If you don't throw darts when you're over there, I'm going to be very disappointed.
From around here.
From iconic landmarks to cozy villages, from bustling city streets to peaceful countryside views, you'll experience the very best in Britain's history, culture, and beauty, and create memories of a lifetime. Paula and I and the girls are super excited to go. We hope you'll join us. To learn more about this amazing adventure, all you got to do is text TRAVEL to 844-770-3776. TRAVEL. 844-770-3776 or visit ESPNMilwaukeeTravel.com for full details. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Medieval times. No one was expecting that to be referenced multiple times during today's program. Jesse, I'm curious because we don't have time if we want to get back on the clock to do Take It to the Bank. What has been the general feedback on the Carbless Talk and Text line about today's program?
A lot of contributions regarding the Old West Saloon in Scotland or whatever Tausch was referring to.
Did anyone back me up on the apprehension and my, as Brian Anderson called it, pros versus Joes mentality? Like, I'm not the only, there's no way I'm the only one who's nervous about this and apprehensive and wants the Padres to win the series today. So the Cubs are just out of the picture, much like the 1996 Packers, as I mentioned earlier in the week, did not have to slay the Cowboys. The Cowboys were slayed for them on their way to Super Bowl 31.
So quite honestly, not a lot of feedback on that. Tim in Oregon, I'm being honest.
No, I love your honesty,
Tim in Oregon,
Joe.
The Cubs actually look very good, but we've got Murph, the world will see. So I think I think the mentality is similar to what I have, which is, yes, there are hesitations about the Brewers, but we've earned the number one seed. Bring forth your mightiest warriors, all other teams.
In medieval times.
Bring it on. Like, I'm not playing matchup and pulling for a certain team because it might be a more favorable matchup. The Padres' bullpen is incredible. They all throw over 100. They shut down
Who's
the Cubs.
Who's the dude that was, like, throwing just
Mason
deep?
Miller.
Miller.
Like, painting the corner perfectly. He was on the Athletic. He was buried on the Athletics this year. He goes to San Diego. Now he's like potentially a hero for them. So the Padres bullpen is super good. The Cubs won the season series against the Brewers, and there's extra pressure that comes against facing Craig Counsell. bring it all on. Phillies, Dodgers, doesn't matter. Padres, Cubs, doesn't matter. Like, I sign us up for whoever you got as the number one seed, just like the Packers when they're a number one seed. The expectation is you're going to be competitive against every team that comes your way.
I've never heard anyone say when Green Bay has been the number one seed, they're the worst one seed in the history of football. Like, I just, that is so...
I've heard it said that it was the most important one seed in the history of football.
Yeah, well, it was for Kansas City and for the other side, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't seemed to matter for the G&G in the recent
years.
That
was said about the Titans the same year the Packers lost to the 49ers on that Saturday night. The Titans also lost to the Bengals earlier that day.
Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
You should always remember the Titans.
Well, I did. I just told you about
it. I know. And you should always remember them.
Okay.
Okay. We need to play trivia.
Well, where did you want to take that?
I don't know. I just thought...
Did we pull the Romeo Doubs deal? No?
Huh?
Did we pull? I mentioned...
pull. Not... Huh? I thought you said I thought you said pull. Like, what did he say something? Like,
pull.
Pull.
It's a great
did
pull.
We pull?
I have not put the pull in the field. How would you like it phrased?
No, we don't need to.
No, let's do it. It's a
too
good...
late. It's over.
Associated Bank has the best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find more about early pay, about credit monitoring, about fraud protection, and about Packers checking, Badger checking, and Brewers checking. All the great stuff, all at one place. They have great customer service. I've experienced that. They've been a great partner of the show. We love them, just like we love medieval times. Jesse, what's today's category for trivia? And... is that poll been pulled into the field?
Today's trivia category, Wild Card Thursday. There are three series playing in Game 3 today in the baseball postseason. One question about the teams playing in each of those three series.
All right. Three Game 3s. 3 times 3 is 9. Caller 9 right now. Caller 9. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 9 plays trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
All our troubles, we'll lay to rest and we'll wish we could come back to these days, these days.
These days, these days. I love it when this guy... this guy comes and joins us when we're on remote at Steinhoffels. He's like the Cal Ripken of attending our Steinhoffels remotes. And now he's our trivia contestant. It's time now for Wildy and Tausch Trivia presented by Cousin Subs.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Cousin Subs. Crispy chicken tenders are now available at Cousin Subs. Order today in-store at CousinSubs.com or with the Cousins app. Cousin Subs, we believe in better.
Let's welcome him in. It is Jerry in the Prairie. Jerry, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Have you shaved down the goatee to a mustache?
Nope, next week.
Okay. We look forward to that. Send us a picture. All right. The category brought to us by Jesse Nelson along with Cousin Subs is Wild Card Thursday. The first question is this. The Detroit, or Detroit, as Mike McCarthy would say it, Tigers and Cleveland Guardians will play Game 3 at Progressive Field in Cleveland this afternoon, a stadium which opened in 1994 with which original name? Was it John Stadium? Was it Jacobs Field? Or Jingleheimer Park?
We're going to go with B.
The Jake, indeed.
That used to be the Mistake by the Lake, and then it became the Jake by the Lake, which I think was fun. Thank you, Jesse. All right, Jerry, which Boston Red Sox legend had walk-off hits in Game 4 and 5 of the 04 ALCS? In which Boston overcame a 3-0 series deficit to beat the rival Yankees. Is it Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, or Nomar Garciaparra?
Oh, boy. I have no idea.
Okay.
Let's go with Big Pop. Let's go with Big Pop.
You love it when they call it Big Poppy is correct. If you, Jesse, don't get the, I was finishing that. He loves it when you call him Big Poppy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Was there a second line that we were all waiting for?
You were done.
You can, no, you hit the trigger kind of quick, but I digress.
Jerry, question three is this. The Chicago Cubs are looking to win their first postseason series this afternoon since they defeated which of these teams in five games in the 2017 NLDS.
Woo! Tough one!
So 16 was the year they won the World Series, right?
And correct.
Tausch was rooting for that.
Yeah.
And Tausch and retroactively
was wrong.
Tausch's worst take.
I was wrong on that.
Yeah. I know. I was getting there. You cut me off, much like the music earlier. Was that series that they won in five games in the 2017 NLDS a victory over the St. Louis Cardinals, the Washington Nationals, or the Atlanta Braves?
Oh, that is a tough question.
Ridiculously tough. Who the heck knows or cares?
Well, I'm guessing it's going to be either St. Louis or Atlanta, so I'm going to say Washington.
I don't know how that worked, but it worked brilliantly.
That's a veteran of the show that just understands
what?
Jelly. He gets gel.
Yep, I got it. I didn't think I was going to get one answer right, honestly.
Well, you ended up with all three. That means you got four entries into tomorrow's drawing. You have foiled the villain that is Jesse Nelson with these questions. Thanks for your loyalty to the show, buddy.
Sorry about that, Jesse. Thanks a lot, guys. Love you guys.
We love you, too.
I love you guys.
Yep. Yep.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.